This is the CBS World News Roundup.
Catching forecasters and commuters by surprise, I'm Lou Miliano, and I'll be reporting live as the eastern seaboard's hit by a snowstorm.
George W. Bush scores big in Iowa and moves on.
We're ready in New Hampshire.
Yeah! Al Gore trounces Bill Bradley as expected.
Thank you, Iowa! On to New Hampshire!
And a good morning, everybody. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News. Mother Nature, it's not nice to fool the computers, but that's just what's happened in the New York metro area where a nasty coastal storm isn't following its projected track. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano joins us live from somewhere out in the great white wasteland.
This storm caught forecasters and commuters by surprise. Schools by the scores have been closed. The highways out here have been littered with spinouts and accidents. Gusting winds were creating whiteout conditions as the driven snow came down at a rate of 3 inches an hour. The airports, if open, are still posting considerable delays. And now the good news is still bad. The snow's letting up with a changeover to sleet and freezing drizzle with more snow due back this afternoon. Reporting live, Lou Miliano, CBS News, Long Island, New York.
The nation's capital is getting a thorough pasting, a hard enough hit that a state of emergency has been declared. WTOP reporter Alan Etter says D.C. traffic is in chaos.
I've seen several cars wiped out. They've just taken off the road. They're over on the side. They cannot move.
The storm has also paralyzed the Carolinas.
This is Jim Crisula in Greensboro, North Carolina, where people are digging out from an unexpectedly intense winter storm, the fourth in a week, in an area not used to seeing much winter at all. Weather forecasters had predicted 1 to 2 inches of snow overnight. Up to 20 inches has fallen. Most schools and businesses are closed. 150,000 utility customers are without power in North Carolina. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
The Cuban boat boys' grandmothers, their brief trip to Florida, a washout because they couldn't arrange the ground rules for a visit with the youngster, are in Washington this morning. CBS News reporter Al Freeman, tell us, how's this storm affecting what they had planned for today?
Well, the treacherous road conditions are clearly having a negative impact on the women's schedule here at the Capitol. They were due here an hour ago to begin a day-long series of meetings with lawmakers. Now they've been detoured for a TV interview before coming here. Within the next hour or so, we're told. The grandmothers here lobbying House members and senators to vote against legislation that would give the grandson U.S. citizenship. While the various bills do have considerable support, citizenship could be blocked if either chamber of Congress votes no, or if there's a veto and more than a third of either House votes to sustain it. Live on Capitol Hill, Al Freeman, CBS News.
It's a morning after in Iowa, where the presidential frontrunners of both parties scored the hearty victories that the polls had predicted. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the first of our reports.
Texas Governor George W. Bush didn't get a majority of Republican votes, but he exceeded 40%, doing better than anyone had before in a contested Iowa caucus.
Tonight's record-shattering victory is the victory of a message that is conservative and is compassionate.
But running to his right, publisher Steve Forbes did get 30% of the vote.
This is not a good night for the power brokers in Washington, D.C.
Alan Keyes pulled a surprising 14% to finish third, the others far behind. But Bush clearly has his sights beyond this nomination fight, saying his win
marks the beginning of the end of the Clinton era.
I'm Bob Fuss in Des Moines. For more on Vice President Al Gore's 2-1 victory over Bill Bradley in the Democratic contest in Iowa, here's CBS News correspondent John Roberts.
It was the type of significant win the vice president was looking for here. And though they would never admit it publicly, Gore campaign workers are hoping it will solidify the support of undecided voters in New Hampshire.
Thank you for the biggest victory in the history of the contested caucuses here in Iowa.
Even in defeat, Bradley was able to claim victory of a sort. His campaign had set the 31% Ted Kennedy captured here in 1980 as a benchmark. They can now claim to have set a record for an insurgent campaign and have vowed to fight on in New Hampshire.
I have a little more humility, but no less confidence that I can win and do the job.
But about the best news the Gore camp took out of Iowa was the better-than-expected showing by Steve Forbes. With Forbes pushing George Bush to the right and John McCain leading in some New Hampshire polls, the vice president's campaign is almost giddy with expectations of a GOP free-for-all. John Roberts, CBS News, Des Moines.
This is Barry Bagnato in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Hitting the ground here recharged and running, Gore insists he won't be complacent.
I don't know the meaning of the word. I'm trying to get my message out to people, and I'm
grateful that a lot of people seem to be responding to it.
A new Franklin Pierce College poll shows him leading Bradley, who can't afford another big disappointment. Among Republicans, Bush trails John McCain, who ignored Iowa betting on a payoff in this state's playoff.
The preliminaries are over, and we're going to win that playoff.
His prediction at a Dartmouth College rally. The Republican wild card is Forbes. Bush doesn't seem worried.
It's hard for me to tell how he's going to do. I know how I'm going to do here, and that is very well.
But Forbes has a lot going for him. His strong Iowa finish, the endorsement of New Hampshire's largest newspaper, and a big pot of money. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Lebanon, New Hampshire.
Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch, who ran last in the pre-caucus Iowa polling and finished last in the count with just 1% of the vote, is now reported to be dropping out of the GOP presidential race. Claiming its Super Bowl Sunday sweepstakes solicitations amount to false advertising. Reporter Larry Cerrone of KCBS Radio in San Francisco has more.
California Attorney General Bill Lockyer says these mailers often look official and deceive the public.
They have this Super Bowl Sunday sweepstakes that you might win $10 million, and it sounds like you have to buy the magazine or the other products in order to increase your likelihood of winning, and that's one of the fundamental deceptions.
Lockyer cites the case of an elderly woman from Orange County who spent more than $50,000 on magazines and other items in an effort to win the grand prize. Larry Cerrone, CBS News, San Francisco.
Consumer confidence, which is a key indicator measuring the force behind the economy's long expansion, soared in January to the highest level ever reached in the 32 years that the data has been compiled. That report from the Conference Board today. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow Industrials up about 65 points, and the Nasdaq Composite is ahead by 11.